Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know if we're going to music or not. Who knows today?
Good morning. Welcome to Contending for Truth Radio. We don't have any music, Rodney, because something happened with Blog Talk. It wiped out my music, and I got to reload some music. So we don't have any intro music this morning, but it's all right.
Thank God we got Dr. Mark Brownstein here to sing for us this morning.
Yeah, right.
We don't need it. Hey, who needs music?
I got a D minus in mixed choir in seventh grade in a solo. That was the last time I sang.
Well, in case you haven't noticed, everybody, we moved back to the morning show. I mean, I know that we got the information out there to as many as people as possible. But then again, last week we kind of lied to everybody because we ended up not doing a show. And I don't know who we're going to blame for that one, Scotty, but let's blame Blog Talk Radio. How about that? I'm blaming them.
That works.
I'm going to do the Hollywood thing where we blame the guy that's not in the room, okay? So it's Blog Talk's fault, but here we are this week. And, you know, I'm relieved that we're doing the morning show again because, let's be honest, guys, we couldn't get the evening show together. I mean, when was the last time we did a show? Like 4 months ago? And I'm happy. I'm fired up. I'm glad we're doing a morning show again. This is a lot better. The sun is up. I'm looking at the river. I'm not sure. Scotty, you might know the answer to this. What's the river between the Arizona and California border? What is that river where the London Bridge
is? That's the Colorado River.
Oh, there you go. Well, I am looking at the Colorado River. It's beautiful. The sun is shining off of it. And everything is great. On the show today, in fact, right now with us is Doctor to the Stars, Dr. Mark Brownstein. Good morning, Dr. Mark. How are you?
Okay. I have a question. Where are you? Where are you exactly?
I'm at the Edgewater Hotel in Laughlin, Nevada.
Laughlin, Nevada.
Right.
Okay.
I know.
I've never been there. It's supposed to be nice.
Oh, well, it's not. In fact, the name Laughlin has the word laugh in it. Laughlin.
Really?
And there's a good reason for that. Because when you get here and you take a good look, you start laughing. That's what they call it, Laughlin. How it got its name.
That's right. Well, I have some relatives
Laughlin,
that go on a houseboat. They go on houseboats and they have fun every year. I've never done it, but they always rave about it. I've never been there, but they like going on a houseboat. They rent a houseboat and have about 20 friends and relatives go for about a week. And
well,
they just hang out on the houseboat.
I think that if you had some sort of watercraft and you were going down the Colorado River here, I think that would be really great because, you know, at one point, and this is a true story, London Bridge actually did fall down. You know, like the song they sang when you were a kid, London Bridge is falling down. Well, it's true. London Bridge did at one time actually fall down. And a guy really admired the London Bridge, an American. And the country of England said, well, you know, you can have it if you like it so much. Why don't you just take it? And he sure did. He took the entire London Bridge and built it back brick by brick right here in Laughlin, or as I say, Laughlin, Nevada. So London Bridge is here. You can come here and see it, the actual London Bridge. It's actually pretty amazing.
Is it just me, or are you guys questioning that guy's mental status as well? You know, my bridge, the only value a bridge has is to be intact, right? And to buy a bridge and fly it over to the desert, is it just me, or does that sound a little bit wacky?
Well, it's funny because they have a Home Depot right across the street here. And you can buy a brick, I think, for about 13 cents. So, to me, you could have built a London Bridge, and you could have said, hey, there's the London Bridge. I don't think anybody would be the wiser. I mean, that's
I'll say the Eiffel Tower for $5.
Yeah, they could have called it the Home Creepo Bridge, and no one would have known. No one would have cared. But if you are on a pontoon boat for 2 weeks, like your friends, and getting loaded, it's fun for about 10 minutes to go, hey, there's the London Bridge, and tell the story that I just told. So
I was invited to go. Well, I was invited to go on that boat several times. It just didn't appeal to me to be – there are two restrooms and 20 people, most of whom are drunk, and it didn't appeal to me as an adult. Maybe as age 20 I would have gone, but at age 58 it doesn't appeal to me.
Well, actually, there's three restrooms on that boat. There's one really large one. It's called the Colorado River. Now, that's for the men's men only.
No.
You know that. Right at the back of the boat.
Anyway,
I was talking to the good doctor just when was that last night, and he brought up some interesting points. But why don't you just tell me what you were talking about, what you were thinking about? Because I wanted to talk about that during the show today, Mark.
Let's see. This sounds bad, but I forgot which topic it was.
You know, I did too. I was laying it all on you.
I felt I was all heated up about something, and I called you, and
you're all
trying
fired
to remember
up.
What it was now.
Yeah.
Well,
it was something about Trump, or something about something.
One thing is you explained and asked your question was it a good thing or a bad thing that the reform for healthcare didn't pass, and you were saying it would have been the first step of what you pictured as two or three steps to get there. To dismantle the current disastrous system, which I'm a part of, and build something that makes sense. I see that to be true. As a doctor that lost more than 60% of my practice the very day Obamacare started, it took 20 years to build up my private practice. All private patients, takes a lot of, and you can imagine, you know, like a law firm or any kind of business, you have to build up a clientele. And it takes a lot of networking, years and years and years of, you know, not sleeping and doing lectures and giving lectures, going to lectures, doing a million things just to build up business. And it was all, you know, 60% sucked out from under my feet. And overnight, while I'm hearing the voice of Obama reverberating in my head, giving me a headache, saying, you can keep your doctor and keep your insurance too, as I'm getting countless phone calls to the opposite, saying the opposite from patients. And I learned the hard way what a liar he was. I don't understand how the President of the United States can get away with such an obvious lie and not have something happen to him. I don't understand that, but it affects the whole country in a disastrous way.
Well, it's really weird that it seemed like a lie at the time. And then, of course, later on, the architect of Obamacare just flat out, you know, he just came right out and said it. Said that they knew it was a lie when he said it. He said, but of course, in order to get it passed, and he actually used the phrase, stupid Americans, to get it passed, to get support, they had to lie. And when they say they, of course, he's talking about the president himself. If you like your doctor, you can keep him. If you like your plan, you can keep it. Well, we all know that, as you say, that was a big lie. Because, and I can tell you right now, I was one of Dr. Brownstein's long time. I was, I think, your patient for 10 years. And then Obamacare came along, and boom. I couldn't, under the Obamacare system, I could no longer... You know, I got a letter in the mail and said, as of October 1st, you will no longer like your doctor. And I thought that was kind of weird.
Well, I'll tell you, I knew about this. At least I strongly suspected he was lying for months. Before the election, before he was reelected, for many, many months before he was reelected, not a single person I pled to vote against him voted against him that I'm aware of. Nobody. They all thought I was lying. They all thought I was making up a lie. And so, you know, that's how much, you know, you talk about a lie or the Russians or put anything in that blank space you want, influencing an election. See, that's what I think he should have been impeached upon. He lied to all of 100% of America and to the rest of the world as well, listening by. And that was such a big lie, he could have won him the election. And I think that, and to this day, in fact, I think it did win him the election. I think his lying won him the re-election, and that's where I stand today. And I don't care what people say about Trump. This is a lying on such a high level and such extensive lying that he should have been impeached based on that and never been put into office.
Yeah, it was a high crime because he not only lied, he knew. They all knew. It was a conspiracy. It was a conspiracy to defraud and lie to the American public about this Obamacare thing, which was really just an attempt to control the healthcare system, which we know now. It didn't reduce premiums. They knew it wasn't going to reduce premiums. They knew.
But all that's okay. See, all that's okay as long as you tell people, hey, this is not good. You just tell people, look, this is our best. If he put it in a different sense, this is my best effort. Reframed it. I'm very likely not be able to keep your. Maybe some of you will keep your same doctor. I have no idea. Some of you, I don't know. That's what he says. You don't lie. It was an abject lie. It was just an outright lie. And it should be treated like any other outright lie by a public official that sways an election. It should have, in my opinion, nulled that and voided that election result. Scotty, what do you think about all this?
Yeah. If Scotty is still hanging around,
should his lying have nullified, or whatever the word is, mm-hmm. made invalid his re-election based on lies?
We've gotten so used to politicians lying. That's part of our problem, is we don't get outraged. And such a huge lie. These are some big, huge lies that were made in order to get reelected. And, now we're sitting in a mess. I mean, it's an absolute catastrophe what we're going through right now. Of course, we'll just like everything else, we'll work through it. But the whole process that we went through on that Obamacare bill was a series of lies. And when our government has to lie to the people in order to accomplish the task, then we've gone past what the founding fathers expected out of this great country. This country was founded because we wanted something different than things in the past. And for a long time it worked. But you know what? Who I blame the most? I blame the most on the people for not paying attention. I would be willing to bet, and I use this illustration a lot. Now, I used to live in a neighborhood. Now I live out in the country, so there's not as many houses. But if I walked through my neighborhood and I wandered into each house and talked about some basic principles, I imagine everybody would agree. But if I walked in and asked the question, did you know that Barack Obama said you could keep your doctor? I would be willing to bet that there would be a lot of those people that never even heard that. Of course, I'm in Texas, so it's probably more than many places. Because people just aren't paying attention. They don't like politics. They don't like to listen to what's going on TV. They don't like to watch the news. And so the people are ignorant. And, we can go back to the Roman Empire, the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire. It was one of the items that caused the decline and the fall of the Roman Empire. Is people were so involved in what they were doing, they weren't paying attention to what was going on in Rome. And right now in the United States, people are not paying attention to what's going in Washington, D.C. They're not paying attention to what's going on in Austin. They're not paying attention to what's going on in Sacramento. And, boy, that's a big portion of our problem. And that's why, folks, this is called Conover U, because we're here to help you spread the word as to what is going on. So I'm going to continue working and listening in the background in my new home down here on the lake. Jonathan and I have got a lot of things to put together. So I'm going to let you guys talk for a little while we clean.
Hold on just a second, Scotty, because you left one thing out, and the biggest lie. You were talking about, the period where Rome, the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. You'll remember the biggest lie they told: if you like your aqueduct, you can keep your aqueduct. And that was probably the biggest lie they told. Remember that? Or you went to a public school, probably. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm a little light on the aqueduct history.
Yeah, and there was what's really bad about it, and Scotty, just if you can at least be within earshot of us, eventually I want to get your opinion on this too, because this is what the doctor and I were talking about yesterday, and that is, Paul Ryan, who, you know, like him or dislike him, the guy really knows the ins and outs of the Senate and House rules and how the government actually works. There's really not a whole lot of people in America that actually knows how the government works. Now, when we were growing up, we had the Saturday morning cartoon, I'm Just a Bill, and we knew, that's about as much as we knew about how legislation gets through Congress. You know, I'm just a bill. But Paul Ryan, and again, like him or don't like him, and a lot of people have a lot of opinions about him, the man does know how to navigate legislation, regulation, executive order, whatever it is, through the different chambers of Congress and through the president's office and actually get it, whatever it is, be it a regulation or be it a piece of legislation, actually signed into law. And we were talking about, well, you know, one of the pillars, maybe the second biggest next to immigration, that got Trump elected was that he was going to repeal Obamacare. Of course, we've been saying that since 2010. Republicans, when I say we, I'm talking about Republicans, of course, Republicans 2010. Hey, all you got to do is get us the House of Representatives, the majority of the House of Representatives, and we'll repeal Obamacare. In fact, we'll defund it under Article 1 of the Constitution. And, of course, it didn't happen. They said, well, we need the Senate. Now we need the majority in the Senate. 2014, you know, it comes around, the majority in the Senate. They said, well, that's not enough. We need the White House. We need all three branches of government to be under control of. Republicans will finally get Obamacare repealed, and that was one of the three legs of the stool that got President Trump elected, was the immediate repeal of Obamacare, and sure enough, he won the election, and people are saying, hey, wait a minute, how come you're not repealing Obamacare? Well, Paul Ryan has made a plan. And it is to repeal Obamacare in three different phases. Now, a lot of people are really mad. I mean, just piping hot mad. One of them is Senator Ted Cruz and different conservative coalitions. One of them is the Freedom Caucus. And they're going to vote against this plan. In fact, they pulled it off the table. They didn't have the votes in the Senate to get it through. And my position is, well, wait a minute. This Obamacare is an entitlement, and it's been around for, what, 7 years now, close to 8 years? And you will agree, Doctor, that it has its tentacles pretty well wrapped around the medical industry. You know, you've had to comply with any thousands and thousands and thousands of pages that are ever-changing of Obamacare regulation in your practice, as hospitals, other doctors, ancillary businesses and industries that surround the medical business, the healthcare industry, and it all has to do with Obamacare. You can't just wake up one day and say, okay, Obamacare is repealed. You can't do that. You can't do that with any industry. Let's say that you're an automobile manufacturer. You had this, you know, 300,000-page giant, you know, change in the way that automobiles are manufactured and sold and regulated, and you put that into place for 7 years. Well, you couldn't just all of a sudden one day rip that whole thing out and say, well, there you go. You'd have to pull it out in phases, or else it'd be chaos. And that's what they're trying to do with Obamacare right now. And that's what I was saying, Doc. And what's your opinion on that?
Oh, well, I think that.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Worth it. I think compared to the chaos that existed, because again, I do this for a living, so I've been enmeshed in it. I've seen it. I've seen how it affects people's health, their lives, their inability to get an appointment with a doctor anywhere, the lack of accessibility of the so-called, you know, one of the cornerstones of Obamacare was to increase access to health care for Americans. Well,
all I've seen is a decrease in access to health care. In fact, I'll tell you, that's all I can think about as you're talking is the decrease in access to health care. I think that's an emergency. And I'll tell you, my mom was in the emergency room a week ago for the billionth time. You know, she fell again. She's 97. They fall a lot at that age. Had a cut that would be sewn up. So she's at Santa Monica Hospital in California. That hospital has such a big ER. It was filled. It looked like a county ER. It was so full. And I looked at the list of people on there on the computer screen. There must have been 50 patients there. That's a lot for a hospital ER. I mean, it was filled to the brim, and the time before that filled to the brim to the point that they had to put her in the hallway like an uninsured L.A. County hospital, like where I trained at USC in L.A. County, where people had no insurance, no Medi-Cal, not a penny to their name. They scoop them up out of the dirt, out of the gutter, and bring them over to the county, literally, and covered with lice and filth and you name it. And semi-conscious. That was a typical patient there. She was in the hallway. Just right, I hadn't seen that since I've been at the county hospital 30 years ago in the dungeon. The ER there was called, I think it was at least a nickname, I think it was called the dungeon. I'm trying to remember that part of the ER, but people were just lying in the, it was so pathetic, lying just in bed. There weren't enough curtains. There was no privacy. Talk about violating your HIPAA law. You're sitting there in a hospital gown in the hallway with no curtain, and there must have been 15, 20 people like that at Santa Monica, the rich where Jane Fonda and what's-his-face, her ex-husband lived in abject wealth. The liberal sanctuary city of Santa Monica. And the reason is there's nowhere to get health care. And I was kind of like curious. I was sort of like eavesdropping, you know, why people were coming in. They had this problems I see all day long in my office. Easily could have been, I'd say half of the people there could easily have been managed by a private doctor, if not more. Instead, they're coming to the ER. They're a lot of foreign people. They don't understand the system. You know, they're here from illegally or legally, but they don't get the system. I'm sure there's some of those, but most of them probably can't get an appointment. Because of Obamacare. No one has an appointment. And the reason is they limited the number of doctors. His is another lie. He didn't tell people. And it was part of the plan all along to limit, he's going to limit the number of doctors that can accept Obamacare insurance and thereby create a blockage to prevent people from being seen and thereby lower the cost of the program. So, you talk to every doctor I know. I mean, it doesn't matter who you talk to. You talk to any doctor, they'll tell you that exact thing because we all experienced it. Half the doctors I know couldn't. They wanted to enroll in Obamacare. They were turned down by Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Blue Blood, whatever, because you had to have met certain criteria from the past or there's too many doctors in your neighborhood already. And so that left far fewer than we needed, far, far fewer. And as a consequence, the ER is jammed. So that's just one symptom of it. It was very expensive care in the ER, thousands of dollars an hour instead of, you know, $100 for an hour in a doctor's office.
There was a lot of people that during the original Obamacare debate that took a lot of flack because they said, look, what's going to happen here is very quickly you're going to end up with a situation where healthcare is being rationed, and that's how they're going to bring the cost down is through rationing. And the Democrats, of course, they went crazy. Well, there's not going to be any rationing. Well, we know now, of course, there is rationing. There's a lot of rationing. People can't get an appointment. There's not enough doctors. There's not enough time in the day for the doctors to see the number of patients that need care. So, of course, costs are going to come down because the amount of health care you have available is being rationed. And then you've got panels of government appointees who are making decisions on who is eligible to get what health care. Well, that's rationing. Of course that's going to, you know, bring certain parts of health care down, but even then it didn't work. The cost of health care has skyrocketed, the cost of premiums, the cost of deductibles. Everything has gone up. The number of people right now that are insured is less, millions less than were insured before Obamacare came along. Now, and here's the most important stat to me. Over 80% of people before Obamacare, over 80% of Americans were satisfied or happy or satisfied with their insurance plan. Now, you can't get 80% of Americans to agree on anything. You can't get 80% of Americans to agree that the sky is blue, okay? And yet, 80% of Americans were happy with their health care.
Right now it's probably 10%.
Yeah,
I ask everybody.
I was going to say, I'd love for you to take that same poll now.
I've done that survey many, many times. I mean, it's impossible that it's 80% in California because I've been asking those questions for 5-6 years. Nobody agrees with that statement. Rare individual.
And you still have
the wealthiest patients would agree with you. The ones that are super wealthy that don't even need insurance, like the Jane Fondas of the world, the Tom Haydens, the Nancy Pelosi's that are so wealthy they get health care in Beverly Hills. They just pay cash. No big deal. They don't even pay their accountants. Pay. They just send the bill. That's how. I'm sure maybe the audience doesn't know, the richest patients, they don't pay their bills. Their accountants pay their bills. They don't even see their medical bills. They just, what you do is, and the movie stars, they all do this. This is what they all do. I'm telling you, this is where I live. I'm not violating, I'm just telling you, they don't see their bills. They go directly to Park Avenue. They often have office in Park where their accountants mail P.O. boxes. And the accountant gets the bills, pays the bills. The person never sees the bill.
Right.
They have no idea what they're paying. And they don't care because they're so rich, they don't care. So that's the care that the rich Democrats are getting. And that's what burns me up even more than anything is these wealthy Democratic left-wing liberals don't even need health insurance. They're so rich.
Yeah,
they'll travel over the world for health care.
They have money managers.
Plastic surgery.
They take care of all of that. And like you say, they don't even see their expenses. They don't care. Their money managers get 5%. You know, they take 5% of the person's annual revenue, and they do all the work, and they do all the numbers. And why not? If you had that kind of money, why would you want to be bothered with your electric bill? I mean, come on. You're not going to sit down and lick a stamp and go online and pay your gym membership. Nobody's going to do that.
Think of how many wealthy politicians there are. In the same position. They're so wealthy, they don't have time to do their bills. They're doing politics, like Al Gore, you know, or Clinton. They have so much money, they don't have time to look at their health care bills. I'm sure they don't see their bill. And if they do, it's only because they need to politically, but to stay aware, but they might, but they don't need to. They could. What difference does it make? So that's not the average American. There's a lot of people that make these rules don't even look at their bill, don't even need the health insurance. They're so rich they don't need health insurance. That's just making our laws now. It's just disgusting.
Well, anyway, getting back to what we were talking about, I don't know if anybody fully understands. I certainly don't fully understands exactly how you get from A to Z when you're talking about repealing something, a behemoth like Obamacare. But I do know this. There is no way that you can just push a bill through both houses of Congress and get the president to sign a bill that says, okay, Obamacare is repealed. You can't do that. You just can't. Number one, the rules of the House and the rules of the Senate and the reconciliation that these types of legislation have to go through and then to the president's desk is so complicated and so arcane that it just is beyond. It would take 45 minutes to explain. You can't explain that on a two-minute talk show. You can't go on Bill O'Reilly and explain this to everybody, and now everybody's all in an uproar. Hey, I thought you were going to repeal Obamacare. Well, they are. They are repealing it, but it's going to take time, and I would urge everybody to relax and let them go through this process. Now, maybe it won't work, and then we can all yell and scream. But for now, step by step, let's move the healthcare industry back toward a market-based system where insurance companies compete against each other, not just across state lines, but if I want to buy my insurance from a company in Holland and they have a plan that I really, really like at a cost that I choose, let me do that. And then if I want to go see a doctor in Argentina that I have, if Mark Bronstein takes off and buys a bar in Argentina and starts working his practice out of the back of it, well, then I'm going to go see him in Argentina. And if that policy in Honda in the Holland covers Mark Bronstein, well, then that's what I choose, okay? That's what I want. I want choice, okay? I want to be able to choose to do that. And that's what will bring healthcare costs down, and specifically that's what will bring insurance costs down. When they have to compete for your business, that's when the costs will come down, which when the government gets involved, they won't let them compete, for instance, they won't let them compete across state lines. Well, then, of course, the insurance costs are going to go up. Like in California now, you only have one choice. You only have one choice with an insurance company. Well, of course, the costs are going to go up. If you were the only game in town, you could set the price any place you wanted to. Well, that's a no-brainer, you know? So that's number one, is let's turn the ship around and head back toward a market-based system. And number two, let's start removing some of the regulations, some of the onerous regulations that Obamacare put into place. Now, people start talking about this, well, what are you going to do about people with pre-existing conditions? Well, let's allow insurance companies to compete for this, what do they call, high-risk pools for people, you know, that do have pre-existing conditions. A big problem. Now, tell me if I'm wrong here, sir. Tell me if I'm wrong here. A big problem is that people were not buying into Obamacare. Because it's like, well, why should I? I'll get insurance when I get sick. Isn't that true, Mark?
Yeah. I'd say it's true. I think the problem with the current system, too, is now what you've done is like they've done in the school system, the public school. Instead of requiring the students that aren't performing well to rise up and perform better and to that's the goal. They've dummied down the rest of the students to make the other ones not look so bad. And that's what they've done in Los Angeles Unified School District across the board. And they do the same thing with the healthcare system. They decreased access and availability of insurance to everybody. So it makes it not look so bad when the other guy can't get in to see a doctor. That's what they've done. They have not increased, in my opinion, they've decreased access to healthcare and made it, and at the cost, tripling the cost to the person that does enroll in the system. And in that sense, when you keep asking what you want, you know, you can't, when you keep saying, you know, you can't stop this right away, well, maybe they should. Maybe that there should be a period of confusion and a little chaos while people scramble to enroll in private plans, et cetera. Or they pay cash for a little while and have some catastrophic coverage policy for people that are hospitalized in the meantime. I better go actually. I think maybe that wouldn't be so bad to force the hand and take 6 months to reorganize the whole thing and just stop this in its footprints. Because right now it's costing so much money for people to get almost no health care. What's the difference?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Well, I know you got to go, Doc, but let's finish.
Yeah, I got to go.
Let's finish this conversation next Monday, okay?
There
he goes,
right,
Dr. Bronson. He's going to go out to cure. I guess you have to cure about 110 people here just to make a living. So thanks for coming on the show. We'll talk to you next week. Well, Scotty, I don't know if you can hear me from here, but there goes the great Dr. Mark Bronson. Unfortunately, I don't have his music to play him out, but I hear rumor that we may have a surprise guest here any moment, a surprise guest, and I couldn't be more thrilled. I'm not going to say who it is, because then if they don't show up, everybody will be mad at me. But it is true
It is true. And just the other day, I saw another, and I wish I could remember this guy's name, but I saw another interview with this cat who was talking about the fact that, and this is the architect of Obamacare, like 8 or 9 years ago, started working on this thing, who just running around the country lecturing different colleges, talking about socialized medicine and different types of government-controlled health care. And he was just flat-out saying, look, the only way to get this kind of thing passed, to get this kind of thing sold to the American public, was to lie about it. Just admit it, just talking matter of fact. This is the way you get things done, is that you lie. And two of the biggest lies that were told were that you could keep your doctor and that you could keep your plan, and they, in fact, knew that there is no way in heck that you were going to be able to keep your doctor or keep your plan. And, Scotty, if you're within earshot, I'd like to get your, when you get back, I'd like to get your opinion on this latest kerfuffle, which is, and I saw this Nancy Pelosi yesterday. Oh, my God, I don't know if you saw her on television. She was doing a victory lap. Of all people, to get on television and do some sort of victory lap because they didn't get this first attempt at revealing a part of Obamacare through Congress. And she had that smug laugh on her face, and she was saying that Trump made a rookie mistake, a rookie mistake. Now, here's the woman that stood up there like a dope. Like the dope she is, she stood up there and she said, we're going to have to pass this bill so we can see what's in it, okay? And she's got the cojones to say someone else made a mistake? Come on. I mean, who's largely responsible for this disaster in the first place, if not Nancy Pelosi? My God, she stands up there saying how Donald Trump has made a rookie mistake. Well, how about a major league veteran mistake, Nancy Pelosi, by getting the thing jammed down the American people's throats in the first place? And she talks about being partisan. Not a single Democrat, not a single Republican vote went into passing Obamacare, and it didn't even really pass. It didn't pass. It was deemed to have passed, and they had to rush it through because, as you know, Ted Kennedy finally succumbed to some sort of alcohol poisoning and died, and a Republican won his seat, and he was going to be the deciding vote against Obamacare, so they rushed that through, and the rest was history. And she was saying yesterday how Trump had made a rookie mistake when they didn't get this first phase of repealing Obamacare through, and I think you know what? I think Republicans should honestly get on board. I think they should get on board and very slowly. And everybody wants to be so quick. Oh, day one, we got to repeal Obamacare. Day one. No, you don't. There would be chaos. It would be the wrong thing to do, I think. I think we should take, honestly, I don't like it any more than anybody, believe me. You know that I've been railing against it long before it was cool. And I think we should take our time and do it the right way and take it, you know, piece by piece. Let's get rid of this thing. Let's introduce some market forces. Let's get the insurance costs headed in the right direction, which is down. Let's get the healthcare costs headed in the right direction, which is down. Let's get the number of doctors back into play. Let's get insurance companies competing across state lines and, you know, peace. And if it takes, you know, 6 months or a year, that's fine. I can wait. But everybody's going nuts. I see this guy on the head of the Freedom Caucus yesterday. Yeah, you know, if it's not all, if it's all not 100% like we like it, we're not going to vote. You know what? Why don't you just get on the program, okay? Because if you don't, we're going to have Obamacare for another, I don't know, 2 years, 4 years. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe Hillary comes back, or maybe Al Gore, maybe you don't have this opportunity. So let's take it, and let's move with it, and let's get rocking and rolling, because there's a lot to accomplish. Now, I don't like Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan any more than anybody else, but this is who we got. I mean, this is the team that is our, this is our team. This is the team that's on the field playing, so let's try and win. This inter-squad squabbling is driving me insane, you know? And here's another thing, the wall. If I have to hear about this stupid wall once more. Oh, I got to build a wall. How are the drugs getting in now? They're getting in through these tunnels. How's a wall going to stop a tunnel? I have the solution. I was thinking the other day, I was at the grocery store, and I had all my groceries. I had all my groceries up there on the conveyor belt, you know, that goes, runs by, and the lady slides each item through, and it beeps, tells you how much you paid for each item, and beeps, and it slides down there. In order to separate your food from, or your items and your food from the guy in front of you and the guy behind you, they put those rubber, I don't know what you call them, the rubber separators. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're rubber, and they separate your stuff from the guy behind you's stuff. So the cashier knows that that's your stuff, and there's a rubber separator, and then beyond that is not your stuff, okay? So why do we need a wall? Why don't we get about 4,000 of those rubber separators and just put them on the border? Nothing in, nothing out with those rubber separators. That would save a ton of money. And we could get Mexico to pay for those rubber separators. What are those? What are they? Buck a piece? Tops? All you got to do is put in a 2-drink minimum at Tijuana. That whole thing's paid for. I don't know why I'm not in charge. I don't understand. Scott, are you still there? Or are you, you know, hooking up your stereo or something while I'm doing the show alone? Which is fine. I'll do the show alone. I know. You leave me hanging in the wind. Anyway, Scotty moved to Texas. He thinks he's really cool. Scotty used to live in California, and then he moved to Texas, where I used to live. And he keeps telling me to move to Texas, and I said, "Hey, listen, I don't do reruns. I already lived in Texas, been there, done that. I had a great time, but now, you know, I live in California. I'm not moving back to Texas." If I move somewhere, it's going to be somewhere where I haven't lived before. All right, enough with the Texas. And now he's moved into a house he can't afford. I'll probably be paying the mortgage on that. Ah, you heard me now, don't you? Heard me on that one, didn't you, Scotty? Anyway, really love talking to the doctor. Our guest is now texting me. So I'm hoping that's a really good sign. Anyway, so back to the Nancy Pelosi thing. She's driving me nuts. I'm telling you, this lady is driving me absolutely nuts. Telling everybody that Trump has made a rookie mistake and smiling and laughing. And this Chuck Schumer. Is it me? Or the Democrats have the absolute worst lineup that they've had in our lifetimes. Look who is the face of the Democrat Party right now. Look at him. Chuck Schumer, is it me, or is he the ultimate pinhead? Would you let this guy even run a lemonade stand in your neighborhood, Chuck Schumer? Oh, my God. And Nancy Pelosi now making her big comeback. What's she going to be? I thought a house fell on her. All of a sudden, she's back in the news. I mean, she's nothing, right? She's just some woman from California. That woman used to be the Speaker of the House. Less than 10 years ago, Nancy Pelosi, of all people, used to be the Speaker of the House, third in line to the presidency. Can you imagine if Nancy Pelosi was our president? You talk about the reputation of America around the world going down the tubes.
Holy guacamole. And here's another thing I wanted to talk about today. And that is, I am tired. I am sick and tired defending Republicans. I'm tired of it. I'm just sick of it. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm tired of defending these guys because they just make me sick to my stomach. I can't watch this Mitch McConnell. I can't watch him anymore. Forget about listening to what he has to say. I can't even watch him. I don't want to defend him. I don't want to defend Paul Ryan, even though I did watch a really long video that he made about how this three-step phase of getting rid of Obamacare is the right way to go. And I was very impressed. I mean, this guy does know more than he is the smartest guy up there when it comes to the legislative process. Half of these guys that are yelling and screaming, I bet they don't even know how Congress works, honestly. It's pretty complicated. You know, the most complicated thing about it is the different ways that the legislation is reconciled between the House and the Senate. Boy, getting a bill to the president's desk is just wild. It's just nutty. I guess the president could just take a pen and he could just do an executive order and say Obamacare is repealed. Is that what we're going to do now? Is that what Republicans are going to do? Are we going to say, well, Obama did it, so now we're going to do it? Are we going to say, okay, Harry Reid got into this filibuster thing and he had the nuclear option and he made it so you don't have to have 60 votes anymore? Are we going to do that now, Scotty? Are we going to be that party? Are we going to be the people that don't follow the Constitution just because they didn't? I mean, is that going to be the normal way to operate things if we're not going to follow the Constitution just because Obama didn't? I think we should go back to the ways of operating the government according to the Constitution. Let's be the good guys, okay? Let's not just stoop to their level. Say, okay, well, we're going to use executive order to do this, executive order to do that. You know, I understand that there's certain times when it's absolutely appropriate for executive order. I don't know. I don't think that this immigration thing is one of them, by the way. I think it's Congress's job to write legislation, get it passed through Congress. We have the majorities in Congress to do so. And where's the budget? Where's this budget where all the money is cut? Where's the cutting? Oh, I see a spending. Oh, we got to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure. Got to build up the military, because I'm sure there's no waste over there at the Pentagon. I'm sure there's no waste there. Yeah, and we got to have the greatest, and you know what? We have the greatest this and the greatest that, and we got to help veterans, which I totally believe we should. Instead of trying to prop up more government health care, which is the Veterans Administration, which is a disaster, I don't think there's too many people on either side of the aisle who wouldn't agree that the Veterans Administration is a complete disaster, just a boondoggle, just a corrupt, horrific place to be sending our veterans. Instead of doing that, why not just issue a veteran a card that says, hi, I'm Joe, I'm a veteran. Just give them a card, and then they can go anywhere they want. Are you feeling bad? Just go see a doc. You go to the front of the line. You don't need an appointment. You just waltz right in the emergency room, or you need to get an MRI. Just take your card, and you go wherever you want to go. The government, you know, the government and taxpayers, the people will pay for it. Thank you for your service. And there you go. And then the Veterans Administration will have to compete with all that, and they will naturally get better. You know, people make fun of the post office, but I don't, because the post office is really a great place to go now. I don't know if you've been there lately, but the post office has great products. They've got two-day mail. They've got all different types of size boxes that you can do the two-day mail. They've got a flat rate price for each size box.
And they've got the flat rate two-day envelopes, which I love. I use them all the time. In fact, when I mail something, almost exclusively I use these two-day priority mail envelopes. I think they're $6 to send. And it takes maybe 2 days. Most of the time it gets there in 1 day, okay? And you get tracking for, free tracking. You can look it up on the internet. You can see where your envelope is. You know, it's in Memphis, and now it's on the way to Oklahoma, and eventually it's going to get to your mom in Florida. So it's exactly where it is. It's great. And you know why the post office has all these things they can offer you? Because of FedEx and because of UPS. Because of competition. They had to compete, okay? Do you think the post office would be offering low-cost, efficient products if it wasn't for competition coming in? Of course not. It'd still be the Pony Express if it wasn't for competition. It's the same way with the Veterans Administration. You give veterans an option. Man, you don't got to go to the VA. You got your health insurance card. Hi, I'm Joe, a veteran. I got my insurance card here. And go anywhere you want. Not only that, you get you right in the front of the line. Everybody steps aside. Maybe everybody even shakes your hand, and I don't know. Maybe people smile, and I don't know. Maybe they even take a minute to thank you. I don't know. Up to the individual. And you go in and you get your health care, and the Veterans Administration would have to compete with that. Let me tell you, buddy. The Veterans Administration would shape up. That's right. They would shape up. If they didn't get any business, people that worked there would lose their jobs. You know? Shape up or ship out, my friend. And if you can't stand a little competition, well, then you know what? You're in the wrong country. You need to catch a slow train headed south down to Venezuela. Where brothers and sisters are fighting each other for scraps of lettuce because they were stupid enough to let this Hugo Chavez run the country, who's a socialist, who sold them on this panacea. Oh, we got to be socialists. Why? Well, because, it's so great. Socialism. Wonderful. Socialism is this great thing where everybody works really hard and, if you got a broken leg, maybe you're not running around. You're doing things that people can do when they have broken legs, or maybe you don't. Maybe you sit around and watch TV. Yeah, I'm sure they've got some good programming down there, but still, you're watching TV, and you get paid the same as everybody else who got busting his ass, 12 hours a day, because it's socialism. You live in a big commune, and it's all white picket fences and unicorn shit. That's what it is, unicorn shit. They should replace the word socialism with unicorn shit. And whenever we have a debate, we can say, okay, what are the merits of capitalism versus the merits of unicorn shit? Everybody will know what I'm talking about. Socialism. So, have you been to a Sam's Club recently? You know what I'm talking about, Sam's Club? Scotty, you know what I'm talking about, Sam's Club? By the way, I have figured out the difference between Sam's Club and Walmart. A lot of people are confused. I was one of them until recently. The difference between Sam's Club and Walmart, because here's the thing. You go, at least where I live, you'll go to a super, they call them Super Walmart. I call them Super Walmart. And they're giant. I mean, they're massive. They're the biggest football stadiums. And they're open 24/7. They got everything you want. I mean, buy anything you want, man. Seriously. You can get tires for your car. You can get bananas. You can get giant 3XL shirts for $4. It's amazing. And anyway, they're just massive. Now, the downside to these Walmarts, and they're open 24/7. You go anytime you want. In the middle of the night, can't sleep, You can drive over to the Super Walmart at 3 in the morning, get yourself, a Bluetooth connector, a Kindle, and you can read a romance novel. Whatever you want to do, you can cite Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want over at the 24 Superstore Walmart, okay? That's what you can do. The problem is when you go to these Supercenter Walmarts, the big problem, I think anyone who's been there will agree with me, is the other people that go to Walmart. And that is the biggest problem. I'm not even going to say I'm sorry, but I'm not. Walmart people, it's like an insane asylum. I think that secretly, Walmart is their insane asylums, and we just don't know it. Because Walmart people are weird. They're weird. They're shaped weird. Walmart people have weird shaped heads, bodies, arms. They're just weird. And that's the problem with Supercenter Walmarts. Now, back to my point, quite often you'll see in very close proximity, sometimes right next door, you'll see a giant Sam's Club and you say to yourself, wait a minute, Sam's Club, Sam refers to Sam Walton, who's the patriarch of the Walton family. And I'm not talking about John Boy, the show on television in the 70s. I'm talking about the Waltons from Arkansas who started the company Walmart. So Sam's Club, that's obviously highly associated with Walmart, there it is right next door. And it's huge, too. It's as big as an airplane hangar. I don't know how long it takes to even build these places. They're so massive. Between Sam's Club and Walmart is that you have to pay like $68 a year to be a member of Sam's Club. You have to actually pay to go shop there, which is kind of a bizarre concept. Same with Costco, but Sam's Club is even more expensive. It's more exclusive. And I could never figure out, well, why the hell would I go to a Sam's Club? Why don't I just go to Walmart? It's right next door. I'll tell you why it's important to go to Sam's Club. Because there's no Walmart people there. That's why. You pay $68 a year so you don't have to look at a Walmart. It's true. You get your big Sam's Club cart, and they're bigger than the Walmart ones, and they don't have the funky wheels. You know how you always get a funky wheel, and it's spinning around, and you don't know what to do, and it's trying to take its own path, and you have to redirect. Not at Sam's Club, man. They keep these things well-maintained, and they're nice, and you can push them around, and they go down the aisle that you want to go down, and there are no Walmart people with the funny-shaped heads and the loud talking, none of that. The butt cracks, nothing is showing. There's no $4 XXX T-shirts that people are thumbing through that, you know, have Batman on them or whatever. None of that. That's why you pay $68 to belong to Sam's Club. I finally figured it out. So I'm a member of Sam's Club. Plus, you can go there and Scotty, you've been to Sam's Club, you can go and look at the curved TVs. They have all the curved TVs on display. Now, I don't know why you'd want a TV that's curved. I don't get it. But I do like to look at them. So there must be something to it. Are you back with me, Scotty?
I am back with you, sweating all over the place, trying to get this place all cleaned up. Boy, it's a lot to move. I'll tell you.
Can you see if our other guest is on the line there waiting on hold?
I am watching for Joe, and he has not come on yet.
Mm.
But we'll be watching for him. But while you're on the topic of Walmart, I have to give this shout out. You know, a few weeks back, we went to a scholarship dinner at ACU. For the Rachel Blassingame Golf Tournament Scholarship that I'm on the board of directors for. And
we stayed in a hotel, and across the street from the hotel was a Walmart. And our jaw was on the floor the entire time we were there. If you want to see the nicest, cleanest, most well-maintained Walmart in the country, go to Abilene, Texas. There were no Walmart people there with any heads. And I tell you, for a while there, I thought, forgot we were even in a Walmart. It was just absolutely, it looked like they had just opened it up and we were the first customers in there. It was so clean and well-maintained. But, you know, Walmart gets a hard, they get a lot of crap. But I'll tell you, I lived in Porterville where the Walmart distribution center is there in California. So I know a lot of people that work for Walmart. And I'll tell you, none of the people that work for Walmart are complaining about Walmart. They all love working there.
That's a fact.
You do, boy, in certain places, boy, you sure do get a crazy crowd. You know, Rodney, the ones that make me crazy are the ones that are having a party in the middle of the aisle right in front of what you're trying to look for.
Yeah. Everybody just stops right where they are to have a conversation. It's a big, like, circle of conversations with their carts, and you can't get around them. And you don't dare to talk to them. Oh, my God, you don't want to engage yourself. You don't want to have any eye contact, because then you're really part of them, and you don't want to become a Walmart person. And you just don't.
True.
But I don't get me wrong. I love the Walmart. I go to Walmart all the time, you know. I get those big XXX, 4X T-shirts for $4. I get the big, gigantic bag of frozen strawberries for $5. Normally they cost $12 or $15. I get that. They have the great produce. And believe me, the produce sections are second to none over there at Walmart. I love the freshest onions in the world over there. But, like you say, Walmart people. And if you really want good stuff, Sam's Club is where to go, though. I mean, it's really, really clean, and they have, you know, it's not just the crappy brands. They got really good stuff at Sam's Club. The problem with Sam's Club is you go in there expecting to spend about $25, and you always spend $150, because you see stuff that you shouldn't buy, and you buy them anyway. And, you know, you get the giant cart, $150 for you.
Sure.
You're like, oh man, I only wanted to buy $25 worth. But yeah, you're right about the people that work at Walmart. They love Walmart. I don't know why everybody gives Walmart so much crap, because apparently it's a great place to work.
It really is. And I'll tell you, Rodney, you didn't quote scripture this time, but you quoted one of my favorite subjects.
Okay.
And that's there are four entrepreneurs who are my absolute favorites. Mr. Hershey, because he never gave up. And if you ever want a great success story, go look up at Mr. Hershey. Sam Kroc with McDonald's. He figured out that if he got 1,000 people selling his hamburgers and he only took 10 cents off each one, that was a lot better than him trying to make all the hamburgers and making 50 cents off each one. Walt Disney, who went bankrupt 4 times before he ever built Disneyland, he never gave up. And walk into any store anywhere, a shoe store, a grocery store, and try not to see some Disney. And Sam Walton. And I'll tell you what Sam Walton's brilliant idea was: sell everything. And when he first opened his first Walmart, if the customer wanted, he supplied it. And to this day, if you go looking around and you can't find something, go to Walmart. They generally got it. Four of the great American entrepreneurial success stories. And Sam Walton, brilliant, brilliant man, who became the richest man in the world for a time, until he died. And, of course, they divided the wealth up between his 4 kids. But absolutely incredible success story. He knew exactly what his customer needed.
Well, it's true. And now what, he's got like 4 kids that are top richest. They're in the top richest 10 people in the world. The three or four Walmart kids. They're all incredibly wealthy. And you're right, they sell everything. They just got it all, baby. it's amazing. It's amazing they can stay in business though, with all the online shopping, because I don't personally believe that the companies like Best Buy will be in business 2 years from now. I really don't, because the urge, the temptation to stop at Best Buy, find what you need, and then just go home and order it from Amazon for 20% less and have it delivered for free. It's the temptation's too high. And in fact, I don't know if you know this, but if you find what you want at Target or at Best Buy, and I think they're doing this at Walmart now, you find exactly what you want, and you go up to customer service, and you show them on your smartphone, Amazon Prime has it for less, they'll match that price.
That's
and
right.
It's amazing. I mean, anybody is a fool to pay retail nowadays. All you have to do is have a smartphone and have a $75 a year membership to Amazon Prime. And what comes along with that is Amazon Video, all these TV shows, all these movies, plus free shipping. And I bought a 60-inch plasma TV. This thing has to weigh 800 pounds. It's the greatest TV ever made. And they shipped it to me for free out where I live, out in the middle of nowhere. That had, right there, had to be $150 shipping fee for free. So that paid for my membership, just one purchase. So it's pretty amazing. Amazon, I don't know what their stock price is, but it's probably pretty high. They're going to rule the world. Now, they're starting to make original television shows, like Netflix is.
That's right.
Netflix stock prices through the wall. I can't wait for ABC, NBC, CBS, and these idiots. I can't wait for these bozos to go out of business. You know that? I can't wait.
Okay.
When that day comes, I'm going to be pissing on their graves, man. I can't wait. Have you watched a network show lately? I mean, crap. I mean,
I haven't watched.
It is crap.
I haven't watched network TV in 5 years. I watch Netflix, Amazon. I got a brand new TV myself coming here in the next couple of days from Amazon.com.
What did you get, Roku?
I got a 60-inch Roku television, actually.
That's exciting. You got a Roku television. Because our new TV show is going to be on Roku.
That's right. That was the reason I picked that out like that. And it was a great price. It was under $400. And
how big is
free shipping?
How big is it?
Over the last 3 years, I've had Amazon Prime. And I have saved 25 times a year the amount of that membership cost. On top of the fact that you have TV shows, all of these movies on there that you can watch, and man, I don't have any reason to ever turn on broadcast television. In fact, we'll give them a quick shout out. We've got Sudden Link here at my new home hooking up my internet, and once he gets it set up, I've got all the TV that I want. We're not having TV installed here because we just don't need it. We got a computer and a TV in the dining room. We've got one in both bedrooms. And it's just not necessary. Watch everything over the internet.
And do you how big is what is the brand and how big is the TV that you just purchased from Amazon? The Roku one.
It is actually a Roku brand. It is a Roku. It's called a Roku TV, and it is a 50-inch television, and it's. It's got, you can use the, of course, I always hook a computer up to my television. That way you can watch anything, YouTube, anything. It's real easy to operate. But it's wireless and has the apps in it. You can watch Netflix or Amazon or Roku through the apps either way. But I always suggest to people Don't use those. Just hook a computer. Go get yourself a cheap laptop and hook it up to the computer. You can watch your Facebook videos on it. The world, and you know, I like to watch Bones on Fox. And you know, you want to wait for the Bones to come out on Netflix each October when they come out. I watch the current season on the Fox website that way, or any of the shows, your favorite shows, you can watch on the network websites. And it's just a wonderful setup. I'll never go back to paying a $120 cable or satellite bill ever again.
It's great. That's crazy, huh? That is nuts. But I'm in the television business, so I got to have my DirecTV because I got to see what everybody's doing. Plus, I got to watch my Cubs. I got to watch the Major League Baseball games. So I've got both. I have everything. There's nothing I can't watch. And I love to see the AMC shows. I watch The Walking Dead, and I watch all those shows. So all of the good ones are coming back. Better Call Saul is coming back in April. So is Silicon Valley. I watch that show. It's really good. And Game of Thrones. And the show Walking Dead is getting ridiculously bad. But it's so bad now that it's good. You know, they've crossed over. They've jumped the shark so many times that the sharks are even laughing. And it's a pathetic show. And it's so bad now that it's become good again. So it's hard to explain. But anyway, what do you think about this this big brouhaha they got going with the Freedom Caucus and this guy and that guy, and Senator Cruz, and everybody's all mad that they didn't, you know, repeal Obamacare all at once, and they're doing it in phases, and they had to pull the bill the other day because they didn't have the votes, and they're going to talking about replacing Paul Ryan, and then Donald Trump came out yesterday and he said, we're not replacing Paul Ryan, you know, da-da-da. What do you think about all that?
Well, I'll tell you, I think we predicted some of this. During the primary season. I think we predicted some of this during the election season. And I think it goes back, Rodney, it goes all the way back to when you were running for Congress. And you stated it very, very well. The Republicans like to use Obamacare in many ways. And it's really, really simple. This is not difficult. And Paul Ryan, I understand. I sat and listened to Paul Ryan one night for 20 minutes explaining what he was doing. And I understand the concept of what he was doing. But that message can't get out that way. It would have been very, very simple. You repeal Obamacare entirely. Boom, gone. You protect those 20 million people. And you can do that. They've got bills out there already written out to protect those people while you're in the interim. Then you turn around and you open up state lines. The moment you open up state lines, competition enters, and those prices are going to go down. Then you figure out how to deal with the people that aren't insured. You know, I believe in helping those that are difficult. I believe in helping those that need a little bit of a safety net. I believe the majority of that needs to be done through the state. I believe, you know, they worry about catastrophic situations. That's fine. Put up some catastrophic health insurance. The market can handle that, where you buy, pay $25 a month. For catastrophic health insurance. Not very many people are going to end up using it. It will pay for itself. But there are plenty of ways to actually go around this. The establishment GOP and Donald Trump fell for it, tried to go in here and mess around. And it doesn't work. It absolutely doesn't work. Now, I know there are certain procedures they've got to go through. I know they've got to get the votes in certain ways. I understand the filibuster. But there were ways to do this. And I'm going to tell you, they better get down on it because they've already got a mess. And if they want to hand this all back over to the Democrats in another 3.5 years, they can do that if they don't take care of this.
They're going to hand it back to them, buddy. And I'll tell you what, you're going to hear it here first, and I'm usually right. Now, I was wrong about – I really did think Hillary was going to beat Donald Trump. I really did. And I think everybody else did, too. There was a lot of rah-rah cheerleading. And you know. But I think in their heart of hearts, I think everybody thought Hillary was going to win. Now, thank God she didn't. Republicans keep acting like they're acting now. Let's say they just keep this crap going for another 2.5 years. You know who I think is going to come out of nowhere and make a giant comeback? Al Gore. I think Al Gore is setting himself up for a 2020 run. What do you think about that?
Oh, boy. I sure do hope you're wrong on this one. But it's very, very well possible.
You hope I'm wrong because he might be formidable.
I think he would be. You know, I have a lot of bad things I could say about Al Gore. But there's certain items that are important to win an election. And Al Gore's got some of those.
Yep.
Although he can be a little bit like Rand Paul, he can come across a little bit angry sometimes. Most of the time when he's not doing it, he's very personable. He's got huge name recognition because he has ran before. There are plenty of Democrats that are still angry that Al Gore did not win that election, who would fight for every dime and nickel that they got to get him elected in there. I think he'd be very formidable. And I think they might have learned their lesson this time.
He's a really good debater, too, by the way. He is an excellent debater. He would not let Donald Trump run roughshod over him. I know he wouldn't. No way. In fact, Trump might have a very difficult time with Al Gore. So anyway, you heard an early prediction once again on Count Over You on exactly what's going to happen in the future. So what else is on your plate today besides hooking up computers and Roku TVs and getting your mail changed over and hooking up your microwave oven?
Well, you know, we're sitting out here on the front porch out in the country. You know, Rodney, when I moved to Texas, my ambition was not to move to the big city. I'm a country boy. I like to be out in the country. Standing here on the front porch, looking across the street at the lake, listening to the birds, watching the dogs walk around. This morning, we have had already these two critters that might sound familiar to you. We had Roadrunner and Woodpecker. So I'm thinking we might just call this Rancho del Looney Tunes. We got all kinds of wildlife. Last night, of course, we had some great storms here in Texas. Came out and listened to the thunder and the lightning. And I'll tell you what other sound was beautiful. Was the sound of the wind blowing the lake. It was very, very mighty. As a man of God, I love to hear nature in its work in its full force. And it's just absolutely beautiful here. That's what I will be doing the rest of this week for the most part, is putting this house together. Jonathan, my best friend, and I are working on putting together the living room right now. That's why I'm hoping our guest hurries up and gets in here so we can get back to doing that. But a lot of work to put the house together. I'll tell you one nice thing. You know, a lot of times you move into a house and it's really, really messy. You got to do a lot of cleaning. This house was about immaculate when we moved in. So not a lot of cleaning, just a lot of putting stuff away. So with that, I'll hand it back to you, Rodney.
Well, there's not going to be a third guest here today, unfortunately. I'm sorry to say. We're going to have to wait till next Monday. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to end the show early today because I've got to take a shower and I've got to get over to my next meeting, and I'm going to tease you a little bit with my next meeting. It has to do with politics. Well, I'll just tell you. It's with Ken Crow of Crow's Nest Politics from Iowa. You know Ken?
I know Ken.
Okay, well, I'm just going to walk across the street here. He's in the hotel right across the street from me with some big-time people that want to meet me. And I'm going to jump in the shower, I'm going to throw a suit on, and I'm going to go over and have breakfast with these guys and
see what they have to say. What do you think about that?
I think it's awesome. I love the Needles Bullhead City Laughlin area. Been on that London Bridge a few times. Been under it on the boats a few times. One of my favorites, you know, it's not really the prettiest place in the whole wide world. But there's a lot to do, especially in Laughlin and Bullhead City. But I'll tell you, my best memory of Needles, California, was when I crossed the border leaving California to move to Texas. Because not long after you pass through Needles, you cross that border out of California. And we knew we were really, really on our way. But spent a lot of time in that area. It's a lot of fun. Been there to the Edgewater a few times. And it really is. If you want to go have a great place, even with the kids, a great place to go vacation, run down there to where that Colorado River runs down that border. And it's got its own beauty. Rodney, if you get a chance, go up there to, I believe, is it Calico Ghost Town? Or is that the one that's out a little further? There's a ghost town up there behind Bullhead City. And it is absolutely a lot of fun to go to. And then, of course, you've got the dam and just everything there. You could spend a week there easily. I happen to like green and trees a lot better than I like desert. So it's not my favorite place to go to look at the countryside, but it is a fun place.
Okay, buddy, I will call you and let you know how the meeting goes. I hope it bears a little fruit, because this may be something big. This may be life-changing. And we'll see everybody else next Monday. Remember, 7:30 a.m. Pacific, 9:30 Texas time, and 8:30 on the East Coast does the Conover U show begin now every Monday morning. Don't miss it. We'll see you later, Scotty.
All right. We will see you later. You guys have fun.